How do you leverage emotional intelligence to create the life, relationship, and business of your dreams? I've spent over a decade studying, speaking, and coaching on emotional intelligence, and in this podcast, I share the exact principles and strategies my clients have used to earn seven-figure incomes, heal their relationships, get engaged after years of failed relationships, and step into their authentic power to become the leaders they came here to be. Let's do this. Welcome back to episode 224 of the Marcia Miyake Show. If you listened to our last episode, you would know that my mom passed about 10 days ago now, and it has brought a level of clarity that I am so grateful for and really anchoring into what's important in my life. When you go through a significant loss, it should really shake things up for you. And if you're doing things exactly the way you were doing them before, it's like, I feel like every loss is an opportunity to really learn and to grow and to heal. And I'm really delving into this space. And I thought I would share some of the insights that I've had. My sister and I decided to start our day the way we wanted to last week. And we went for a coastal walk up to one of our favorite cafes. And we just talked. And that has been very healing for us. And we've intentionally slowed down and been very unapologetic about it and have just really allowed ourselves to be in this period and not have expectations about what it's supposed to look like. Anyway, one of the things we were talking about when we were walking is, you know, we looked at each other and we're like, I'm okay. And like, how are you? Yeah, I'm okay. And like we discussed before, we knew our mom's passing was coming. It has been a hard, hard 10 years. And I can very openly acknowledge that without saying, you know, my life was shit for 10 years. But man, that part of my life was really, really challenging. I had, you know, the contrast of some amazing things happening in my life and then also the challenges and the pain that came with watching my mom really deteriorate in the way that she did over 10 years. Now, we were saying, like, I kind of said to Dee, or I can't remember who said it first, but we're like, you know, I knew that her passing wasn't going to break me. And we can say that with zero guilt, without an expectation of like that it's supposed to break us, because we know people that have experienced significant loss and that it really just made their lives crumble. Now, important disclaimer here, we are only 10 days out. I mean, we don't know what period of the grief we are in, whether we are still in shock. Like I said before, I have no expectation of what this is supposed to look like. I have no rules around what my grieving process is supposed to look like. I'm just accepting how I feel in the moment and just allowing myself to be. This is also no judgment for people who grieve in different ways. We're making an observation of our situation. And so this is just one perspective and this is just our situation. And then I'm going to tie a lesson into it. But please understand that I'm not saying, you know, if you lost someone and it broke you, you're, I don't know, any judgment around that. So I just wanted to really make that clear. Anyway, we were saying, hey, I knew this wasn't going to break me. Yeah, me too. I knew this wasn't going to break me. You know, obviously there's moments of loss. There's moments of tears. Sometimes we just look at each other and we can tell that there's just something in the other person's eyes. You know, we've been hugging longer. We've been really spending more time with each other's children and just feeling so grateful for each other's children and our relationship with each other and really anchoring into those relationships. And I know that's part of the healing process. That's part of us healing the grief of losing our mom. And so we were talking about, why is that so? Why do you think that it is that? Why do we think that is so, that this isn't breaking us and that we are pretty much functioning in the way that we normally would, just in some dips of sadness and grief? And part of that, we believe, is because this was a long road and we mourned aspects of our mom as we knew her along the way. But then also, we've been through a lot. We have experienced a lot of trauma in our lives in those foundational years. So basically, the theory is that in your first 7 years of life, you're basically a little sponge and you absorb everything and you really make meanings about who you are, what you're worthy of, what life is like, what's available to you. And by the time you're seven, it's basically imprinted, like those core beliefs. And so in some ways that has been a challenge for us because the first 5 years for me, the first 7 years for D was poverty. We only knew poverty. And this is why, you know, when I work with people in terms of helping them increase their abundance thermostat, I know whatever resistance you're feeling, girl, I got you. I know, trust me. I've experienced not having food, no, like with an actual fear and going to bed hungry and thinking there was one bread roll for the whole family, like fact, like actual reality, and what that would have imprinted in my psyche about abundance and about what's available to me and about the world in general. And so we did have these limitations. We also had a lot of self-worth issues. I still work through that, but in my adolescence years, it really impacted me. I made a lot of really not great decisions because I had such a low level of self-worth. I pushed away friendships because I didn't feel that I was worthy of them as a child. I pushed away healthy relationships with men because I didn't feel that I was worthy. So all of those challenges and the scarcity that I experienced, that we both experienced in our formative years, really did have what you could call a negative impact on our lived reality, even after we were out of those challenging situations and living a beautiful life in Canada. And we often highlight, the negative impact of trauma and how that impacts us. But what we talk less about is how it shapes us in a positive way. So yes, there was a lot of moments of fear, and my father was abusive to all of us, and we lived in fear, and we didn't know when he was going to come home and how he was going to come home and what he was going to do to us and what he was going to do to our mom. So there was our nervous system was constantly dysregulated. We were constantly in fight or flight mode, and that had its implications. One of the blessings, though, is, well, what else did it imprint? What else could it have imprinted in my subconscious? Well, I can survive anything. Like, and there was some negative, even negative implications of that. Like when I was a teenager, if you know me, you know, high school years, you knew that I was crazy. And this is the thing, people who know me now are like, what? I can't even imagine. Like, yeah, I used to get in fights a lot. I got my ass whooped a lot because I'm 5 feet tall. I didn't care if you were 6 feet tall and you were from the hood. I would fight you if I wanted to. And my whole thing was, and I remember this like as a core memory too, is like, even if I got my ass whooped, I would get up and I would still be yelling at the person like, blah, blah, blah. And I would still be going off because what? You can't break me. That was honestly an identity that I had. And I continue to identify in that way, that nothing can break me. And I can give some of that credit to the childhood that I did have, the fact that I did experience trauma. And it got us into a conversation talking about building resilience in our children. And resilience, you know, from a business perspective, it's one of the key things, you know, when someone is not or fails at business, quits, it's usually because of a lack of resilience. So we know that it is a key skill that we need to have. And a lot of people lack it. And important disclaimer here, we're not saying that we need to orchestrate trauma so that we can build the skill of resilient. Trauma is going to be a natural byproduct of life. And some people had, you know, it was just their life experience that they came into a life where it had more trauma, and some people didn't. And for me, I just choose to always select the good things from my experience. I could easily be like, this is why I can't succeed, and this is why, you know, I'll never amount to anything, and I had no model of a good relationship. My dad abused my mom, so I'll never have a healthy relationship. Like, you can use your past as your excuse, or you can use it as your motivation. And so how can we build this resilience in our children in a way where we're not orchestrating trauma? And now this is my personal opinion, but I think we have an over-mothering and under-fathering problem with children today. And that is because the movement of gentle parenting, where most people don't really know, the consequences piece of gentle parenting, it is more just the child-led, and I will always be the soft nurturer, which is the feminine mother role, but not enough of the structure, directional piece of the masculine and the father role. And when we over-mother and we want to protect our children and we want to fix it and make it better and we don't want them to experience pain, we are actually doing our children a disservice. So as painful as it is we need to let our children experience failure, pain, and suffering, because that is a part of the human experience. And in fact, that it can be one of the things that creates that resilience and that fulfillment for them. For example, I don't know how familiar you are with like Stoic philosophies, but one of the things for me that I think anchors me into feeling so much gratitude that I touched on a previous episode as well is that, like, bro, I remember what it's like not to eat. So I don't tend to be a diva when the restaurant brings me my wrong food or the food is not as good as I wanted it to be. It makes me more grateful because I have that point of contrast. When you have that point of contrast, you tend to be really grateful for what you have. I know what it's like to be in a really shitty relationship. Therefore, the relationship I have with Dan, I cherish it with my whole heart. I know what it's like to not have clean water. So I'd never take my hot showers or my cold showers for that matter for granted because I have clean. Well, I mean, depending on your definition of clean, but you know, it looks clear water in, you know, a developing or a developed country. And so I think what we concluded from this was like, wow, you know, number one, let's just be so grateful for our life experience, whatever your life experience was, you know, whether you had a challenging relationship with your parents or not, whether your parents were always there to support you or not, whether you grew up in abundance or not, that there is the measure of your success is not what you experienced in your childhood, but the meaning you created around what you experienced in your childhood. We experienced a lot of trauma and a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. And what was the conclusion? You can't fucking break me. You cannot. Of course, I have my bad days. Of course, I have my down days. It happens. But for the most part, like, I know that if I allow myself to go there with my emotions, which I'm good at processing my emotions, I will really allow myself to go there. And I know it's only a matter of time before I bounce back even better than before. Because, you know, the saying, like, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. It's true, but it's only true if you decide the meaning around the thing that was supposed to kill you. And that was the biggest lesson for my sister and I. And we just looked at each other and we were just like, you know, I'm just like, we're really grateful for each other. We're really grateful for all the ways that my mom was there for us, all the incredible memories that we created with her. And that just, it was an anchoring lesson to us as well as mothers ourselves of like, you know what? Like, we always want to be our children's safe space, okay? So when our children go through challenging things, they can come to us. We will always be their safe space. I always say to my kids, I will never say no to a hug. Like, no matter how angry I am, no matter what they just did, if they say, I need a hug, my arms are wide open and I scoop those babies up. However, there's a difference between being a safe space and being a rescuer. And if you become a rescuer, and again, we see this in people, I've coached women who are like, I had a great childhood, what the heck? Well, your parents didn't allow you to experience anything. A lot of times their parents always made decisions for them. And so when they grew up, they didn't know how to make decisions for themselves. They didn't know how to trust their innate intuition. They didn't know how to go within. They were always looking for external validation because that's this type of parenting that they had. Their parents were always coming in to fix and to rescue. So be that safe space for your children, but understand that when we rescue them and we try to make it all better, we're actually robbing them of the human experience of feeling the full range of emotions. And when they don't feel the full range of emotions, when they do feel as adults or as adolescents, those really challenging emotions, they aren't equipped to actually process them. They run away, they buffer, they avoid. And that is the opposite of emotional resilience.